Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colter. Welcome to Church at Home. At Church at Home, we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, the truth of the Bible, the true interpretations of the Word of God, and how does it apply to our lives today? We are told by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 that the things that happened in the Old Testament were examples, so we don't do the same thing. Okay? Now, that applies to those who have the Spirit of God and are in the Church of God. But you see, the Old Testament gives us perfect understanding as to how God deals with the nations. How does God look upon the nations? What does he do when nations become evil? What does he do for those people that he gave the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to, that is, the children of Israel? And of course, there were 12 tribes, and they didn't just all disappear from the face of the earth, and only the Jews are left. Now, that is a propaganda lie, so that the Jews can claim all the blessings of all 12 tribes. Won't work that way. See, now we have online, you can download Judah Scepter, Joseph Birthright. If you've never read the book, please do, because that will open your understanding to understanding the prophecies in the Old Testament. It will open your understanding to the prophecies in the New Testament. And it will give you a brand new perspective concerning the true history of where the United States and Britain came from, and who we really are, and why we have the Word of God, and why we claim we're God's people, because in reality, we really, really are. But God rules the whole world. He rules them through angels and Satan and demons. The angels of God fight for the children of Israel when they're doing good. God turns them over to their enemy when they sin. But God sends many warnings. He sends many prophets. He sends those to say, repent. And when Jesus came and started preaching, he said, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he said that not because the kingdom was coming really quickly, but because he was the king of the kingdom. Now, let's go to Jeremiah 18. Let's see something very important. Let's see how God deals with nations. Because in order to understand what is going on and why terrorism, and we saw that God said, if we don't obey him, if we don't love him, if we don't keep his commandments, then he will appoint over us terror and consumption and other things. Now, that was in Leviticus 26, but you go to Deuteronomy 28, and you read that whole chapter, and you think about it. Read it in terms of what is happening today to the nations of America and Britain and the Commonwealth and the nations of Northwestern Europe. They are all the descendants of the 10 tribes of Israel. And also what's happening to the Jews in Judea, wrongly called Israel today. It's Judea. And also wrongly called the Holy Land, because it is anything but holy. It is ungodly and filled with war and terror and killing and wretchedness, and we need to understand why. Now let's back off here just a minute and let's understand this. God created us in his image. He made us in his likeness so that we could become like him. God has given his laws and his commandments and his spirit and his word so we can learn how to become whole and complete human beings and be ready for the resurrection. Now, because his plan is so great and his purpose so marvelous and his love so absolutely tremendous, that if people reject God, turn their backs on God, kick them out of their homes, kick them out of their schools, kick them out of their governments, and if you don't want God, he'll leave. He'll leave you over to your own devices. And he will bring his judgment upon you according to your own devices. He does that to individuals and he does it to nations. Let's read it here. Jeremiah 18. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he was working at his wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was ruined in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. All right, now that's clear enough. You can understand that. Yes, you get the clay just right, and you're making it, and of course you spin the wheel with your feet and so forth, and if you get your thumb in the way, whoop! It's all messed up. So then you beat the clay down and you start again. So God says to Jeremiah, I want to teach a lesson with this. Verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, remember the duality of prophecy, the first fulfillment and the latter fulfillment. So think of this as the latter fulfillment as to what is happening to our nations today and why terrorism. O house of Israel, can I not do with you even as this potter, says the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O Israel. Is that not true? Yes. God is over everyone. God judges the hearts and the reins and knows our thoughts. Do we love God or reject him? Do we keep his commandments or sin? What is it that we are doing? God knows. God can know our thoughts at any time. Now notice what he says here concerning nations. And he's teaching Jeremiah what the lesson is in how he deals with Israel and any kingdom on the earth. Let's read it here, verse 7. If at any time I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up and to pull it down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken will turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do to them. So there you have it. Any time a nation will repent, God will forgive. Now that happened with the Ninevites, not the Israelites, but the Ninevites, the Assyrians. God sent Jonah, remember? And Jonah preached 3 days and 3 nights, repent, God's judgment is coming upon you. And it took 3 days, the city was so vast, for Jonah to go through the city and preach that. And the word came to the king and all of those in the palace. And the king repented. He put on sackcloth and ashes and commanded that every man fast and pray and repent that God would turn the hand of his judgment back from being upon them. And God honored that repentance and turned back his hand. And they continued the way they were for 120 years before they corrupted themselves again and wouldn't listen. Now that could happen here. In the Commonwealth, it would have to start with the Queen or the soon-coming King William to declare repentance and fasting, confession of sins, changing the way that the religions work, changing the way that the people think, teaching the Word of God. God will pull back his hand from evil if they repent. God also says to the wicked man, he says, wicked man, I do not delight in the death of the wicked, but the wicked would turn. That means repent and come back to God. So he says, turn you, O Israel, for why will you die, says the Lord. And that's what's happening to this nation. Are we dying now? Slowly but surely. Verse 9. And if at any time I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build it, to plant it, if it does evil in my sight that it not obey my voice, then I will repent of the good which I said I would do them good. Is God fair? Is God just? Is God right? Is he in control? All of those things, yes. Now let's see a prime example in the book of 1 Kings. This is about Solomon. Solomon, the one who built the temple of God. Solomon, the one to whom God gave wisdom, and he was the wisest man on the earth. And because his heart was tender, and he asked God, when God appeared to him in a vision, give me wisdom so I may judge your people Israel. And God said, because you didn't ask for wealth, because you didn't ask for yourself, I'm going to give you wealth. And he did. He made him the richest man in the world. He had an international worldwide fleet of ships. Kings of the earth would come to listen to his wisdom, bring him gold. He received 666 talents of gold as tribute because God blessed him. Now, when he got the temple all done, dedicated, and you can read the prayer that he prayed after the dedication of the temple and how that God would be merciful to his people. God was so delighted with that prayer that fire came down from heaven and devoured the offerings that were on the altar before the temple. God put his presence in the temple so that everyone could see the demonstration of God's presence, called in the Hebrew Shekinah. And it filled the temple, and all the priests were singing and blowing trumpets and the choirs, and it was a great and marvelous thing because God would walk among his people, because God was pleased with what they did. Now, what happened? Remember, everything in our relationship is contingent upon if. If you will hearken to my voice and obey my words, and keep my commandments, then I will bless you. Well, that happened. That was fulfilled in the life of King Solomon. And that was perhaps, for the short time that that took place, the only time that Israel pleased God. But they soon corrupted themselves, beginning with Solomon. So we find here, 1 Kings 11, verse 1, and King Solomon loved many foreign women, even the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, Hittites, of the nations of whom the Lord said to the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, and they shall not go into you. Surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. But Solomon clung to these in love. Now, what happens when you disobey God? What happens when you think that your way is okay? What happens to a king who has complete control when he does what is right in his own eyes? Remember what happened to David with Bathsheba? Now, let's see what happens to Solomon because he did this. Verse 3, he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. That's exactly the same sin of Eve and Adam. Adam listened to the voice of his wife instead of God. Now, you need to think about that. There's a big message in there for everyone, husbands and wives. We'll dwell on that at another time, but let's go on here. Verse 4, for it came to pass when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. And you read in the book of Ecclesiastes how Solomon, after he came into everything, gave himself to drunkenness and debauchery, gave himself probably over to drugs, moaned and groaned because he didn't know who who was going to come after him, and who would know whether he is a fool or whether he was wise. First commandment is, I am the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, when anyone breaks that first commandment and does not repent, and look at all of the knowledge that Solomon had, look at the blessing and favor that God gave him, and then he does this. Now, it's important to understand, David repented, but there's no record of Solomon repenting. Now, how does this tie in with terrorism? Just wait. We'll see in a few minutes. Verse 5, and Solomon went after Ashtoreth. Now, that's the female goddess called Gia today, or Mary. You worship the Virgin Mary? She's not in heaven. Doesn't matter what the Pope says. Only one to ascend into heaven is Christ. Christ, the first fruits, and those that are his at his coming. Not until then. And is there a statue of the so-called Virgin Mary? Yes, they even crown it with a golden crown. Oh, aren't we righteous? And we pray to her when Jesus said, don't even pray to me. You can pray directly to the Father because he loves you. Why do you need Mary to intercede for you when she's not there and can't do it? So you see how far away from God people get? Ashtoreth, goddess of the Zidonians, after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully go after the Lord like his father David. Then he added insult to injury. He made it even worse. Now, he's the one responsible for building the temple. So what did he do? Oh, yes, to the west, down from the valley of the temple and over to another mountain on the west, which later became known as the Mount of Abomination because of this. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill which is before Jerusalem, for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon, and likewise he did for all his foreign wives, and burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. Now I want you to think for a minute. What have we done as a nation? After all the blessings that God has given us, what have we done? Well, let's see what happened because of Solomon. And we will see, just like Leviticus 26 said, I will appoint over you terror. God sent terrorists. Let's see who they were. And we will find that they're the same ones that are coming after us today. Let's read it. And the Lord, verse 9, was angry with Solomon, and his heart turned away from the Lord of Israel, who had appeared to him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, and he did not keep that which the Lord commanded. So God sent a prophet to him and told him, since you did not keep my covenant, and you despise my name, you didn't keep my statutes, you didn't keep my commandments, I will surely take the kingdom from you. But he said, I'm not going to do it until after you die, and I'm going to keep part of it because of David, my servant. I'm going to give you one tribe, that is the tribe of Judah, and then, of course, the Levites and part of the tribe of Benjamin. So here's what God did between the time of the pronouncement of that and his death. Let's read it, verse 14. And it came to pass that the Lord stirred up an adversary against Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the king's seed. Edom. That's Esau. That's where Amalek comes from. You go online to cbcg.org, and I have sermons on there, why terrorism, where it came from, what about the Edomites, what about the Amalekites, and what is happening today? Exactly the same thing. And so God stirred up another adversary, verse 23, Rezin, the son of Eliadad, who fled from his lord Hadadezer, the king of Zobah, and he gathered men to himself and became head over a marauding band. After the slaughter of David, they went to Damascus and dwelt there and reigned in Damascus. Syria. Does that sound familiar today? Does not history repeat itself? These men were adversaries and terrorists because Solomon transgressed and sinned against God in a mammoth way. What it says right here, God stirred up. God said in Leviticus 26, I will appoint over you terror. Now let's read on here, 1 Kings 11. Now he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, because the mischief which Hadad did, and he hated Israel and reigned over Syria. That sound familiar today? Are there people who have an implacable hatred against the Jews, against us, against the Brits? How did they come there? God stirred them up. Remember what we read in Leviticus 26, that if we did the things that pleased the Lord, we would have peace. The sword would not go through the land. Remember what God said? If you kept his commandments and did what was right, then 5 of you would chase 100, and 100 would chase 10,000. But when we don't do that, the opposite happens. We can set up all the defenses we want. But repentance will be far better than armies. Because with repentance, God will fight for us. Now notice what else happened. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephratite of Zerah, Solomon's servant, whose name was Zerah, a widow, he too lifted up his hand against the king. And it was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Okay, so Solomon then built fortresses to protect himself. Well, will Homeland Security defend us? While our armies can fight and we can win some battles, but how many are we chasing? And how many does it take? Well, what happened then? God gave Jeroboam a chance by the prophet Ahijah came to him and told him very clearly, God is going to give you the 10 northern tribes of Israel. And he said, if you'll keep the commandments of God and do what is right, I will give you a dynasty just like I promised David. Oh, but he didn't do that. No, Jeroboam couldn't stand it. So what did he do instead of gathering the children of Israel when God split the kingdom? And remember, it split over taxes, huh? Hello? Sound familiar today? What are we in the middle of? So what did Jeroboam do? He set up the golden calf worship in Dan and Beersheba, and he changed the Feast of Tabernacles from the 7th month to the 8th month so that the people from the 10 northern tribes would not go down to Jerusalem to keep the feast. And that became an abomination to God. Now, I want to ask you a question. When you read the Bible and you see what the professing Christians have done in this land, have they not changed what God has commanded and what Christ has commanded? Yes, indeed. Is there a curse upon the land? Do we have terrorists rise up against us? Do we have nations rise up against us? Do we not have little dictators thumbing their nose and everything they do against us? Yes, indeed, we do. And that comes from God. God says we need to repent. We need to return to him. We'll see that in the next segment. But this helps you to understand why terrorism, We cannot hold God in contempt and reject him and expect the blessings of God. Never happen, either in our lives personally or in the lives of all of those in the nation. It will never be. Now, we can stop the terrorism, but not by war, but by repentance. So you write for our book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, because that has a whole lot showing why this nation is in the straits that it is and what you need to do about it. And also our new book, Lord, What Should I Do? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And so until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone. Thank you.